This is the Bet the Board podcast. I'm your co-host, Todd Furman, joined as always by a gentleman you'll hear in just a minute of Pain Insider. You can follow him on Twitter at Pain Insider and visit his website at paininsider.com. You can see me at toddstake.com. Pain, I have to give you credit. I was a big fan of our new artwork that we displayed after Monday's podcast.
Yep, got together with my graphic designer, who's a lady, and she whipped something up nice for us. I think it looks good. It's bright. If anybody out there has any opinions on it or feedback or anything that we should change, feel free to drop us a line. As Todd said, he's at toddstake.com, and I'm at paininsider.com.
Wait, I have a question. How successful do you have to be in this business that you have your own graphic designer at this point?
We're going to keep it PG. My typical response would be different than if we were on the podcast, but she does great work. Got to give her a shout-out.
All right, we'll leave it at that. Discretion is the better side of valor, and, of course, people coming here to listen to us break down each and every game on the NFL board. So we're going to tweak our format a little bit for the Thursday weekend preview. But, of course, let's get started with tonight's game where the Washington Redskins opened as a 4.5-point favorite. That number is down to 3. You've seen movement on the total from 44.5 on the open as high as 46 before it since settled in at 45. Not sure what you want to attack first, side or total, for this NFC showdown later this evening.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. We can dive right into this one. 4.5 was the number, Chris, but when you look at some of even places that are, I feel, a little sharper than that, even Pinnacle, you're looking at a 6.5 open. So it's been a steady stream of Giants money. It looks like the offense and Eli Manning are getting acclimated to the new system. And again, that was the reason we were on the Jets pretty big last week, despite the scoreboard not kind of depicting what happened in the Arizona game. The Giants' offense was moving it, very successful. A couple key third down drops by Cruz, 4 turnovers. So it was a good buy point on the Giants last week against the Texans. And I think that's kind of what we're seeing here, this offense just being a little more cohesive of a unit. And when you look at this Giants' offensive line, it's been an issue the last few years. But against the Texans, what was outstanding to me, Jennings in the rush game averaged 2.6 yards per carry before contact. So Giants offensive line looks like it's getting together. Washington, tough loss last week. So still Kirk Cousins looks like the guy there. We have seen some under money come in. It'll be interesting to see if it gets below that key number of 45.
Yeah, and you talk about the Giants and them finally putting it together for the better part of 4 quarters, a game that wasn't really even as close as what the final scoreline showed. And you talk about Jennings, who's going to be tested against the Redskins defense, who's actually held their opponents to less than 3 yards a carry on the early portion of the season. We talk all the time, though, about lines and line value, et cetera. We know the big move has come in on the Giants. Can we even make a case here that says, you know, maybe you even want to look at the Redskins now that there's a flat 3, even if you weren't fortunate enough to grab the Giants number and have a side or middle working for you at this point?
You know, I think you nailed it. If you got 6.5, you definitely come back, look Washington -3. But if you're not in those shoes, for me, it comes down to the game. It comes down to the information. Is there a piece of information that says, look, listen, we have this game a pick? Then obviously going now would make sense. We saw something similar week 1, Vikings-St. Louis, where that was a game that opened in that 6-5.5 range. Obviously some injury news there. But it ends up getting crushed on Sunday through the 3, closing 2.5, and it's a game that wins 34-6. And so if you're that stubborn guy that said, I always need the best of the number, which typically that's me, you know, you sit on the sidelines after it ends 34-6, and you're like, man, I missed an ample opportunity here. So if the information presents itself, if there's something new that you've uncovered, then if the Giants are the side, you know, I'm still looking that way. But for me right now, I'm not sure they're the side. So I have no interest at this number right now.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's fascinating because we talk all the time about value that can get created in the marketplace when different groups go to battle over a number. But more often than not, it really feels like in the NFL, you see a lot of these groups aligned on the same side. Information probably more transparent in this sport than anything else. And personally, I'd be hard-pressed to try and oppose a move of this magnitude. But much like you, I'm not sure I believe in the Giants just yet. Won't get me invested there. For me personally, I'd make a greater case to go under the total even at 45 before that number ticked down if I was looking to invest this evening.
Yeah, I can't argue with you there. The total definitely looks like the better play. You're even still seeing 45.5 out there at shops in Vegas like the Las Vegas Hilton. And I think you'll see some public money start to enter the market. Maybe it ticks back up a notch before the groups look to take another crack at the under. So that looks to me like the better play. I agree with you looking towards the under in this Thursday night contest.
And while Thursday night is only one game on the board, we may as well dive into the Sunday slate and allow people to get some of their homework done a little bit early for all those fine weekend warriors out there. And what better place to start than, well, with a team from your backyard, despite playing across the pond. Looking at Miami, a 3.5-point favorite for their trip to lovely Wembley Stadium as they take on the Oakland Raiders. Total in this game, 41. Hey, where is Miami at this point off that, I don't know, what humbling, embarrassing, I don't know what you call that effort that we saw last week at home against Kansas City. A game that was actually a lot closer than what that final score appeared.
Yeah, I think you nailed it. The game was much closer. Late in that game, in the fourth quarter, 21-15, Miami driving midfield. They have a second and one, and they decide to pass the ball twice. Third down, they pick up a sack. They go and punt the ball. We've talked about their special teams issues, and it gets returned for about 60 yards. Chiefs go punch one into the end zone, and the game was over. We talk about the look-ahead line on this before last week, Dolphins -7. So right now you're looking at a 3.5 virtually across the board. And for me, it lends itself towards looking towards Miami. Oakland is just a very, very bad unit at this point. I know a lot of questions and locker room stuff going with Miami, with Philbin not naming a starter, and then Ryan Tannehill 5 minutes later in the following press conference saying, I'm starting. So there are some issues there. Other than that, though, this looks like a buy point on Miami for me. They get a hot start against New England. Now they're 1-2, heading into their bye week. There's no way that they can go into their bye at 1-3 and get Green Bay coming out and think it's going to be a successful season. This is a must-win game for Miami. And one key point here, Koemisi did practice this morning. If they're able to get him back in there, that's huge, because the issues on special teams allows them to get their captain, Jason Trusnik, back.
Yeah, a very interesting game, and like you talk about, especially with the number sitting at 3.5. For me personally, the only way I would look was trying to identify a cheap buy point for Miami down to 3, laying the field goal even upwards of $1.25, knowing that Oakland playing their second, but let's call it what it is, second game very far east after playing New England. You know, from all accounts, they didn't head back to the West Coast before trekking across the pond. So Oakland in a bit of a difficult travel spot here. You look at a team that played Monday night in the Chicago Bears. They opened as a 1-point favorite against Green Bay. Number has since swung to the Packers, now a 1.5-point chalk. Total ticked up a little bit, as you expected, from 49.5 out to 50. But what do we make of the Bears? A team that's pretty fortunate to win each of their last two games, despite their inability to pick up over 300 yards of offense in either of those two games.
This is a game, really, at this stage, I want no part of. We really thought the Jets would come out Monday night, and I really thought they would put a whooping on Chicago. The score not indicative of what really happened. If you look at the box score, you know, it's a Jets win by double digits, and that would have allowed me to say, hey, I'm going to back Chicago here. But in that Monday night game, more injuries to the defense. This is a revenge spot for Chicago. It's one that they've had circled all offseason. Last year, week 17, it was very simple. Game in their home field. Beat Green Bay, get to the playoffs. Green Bay beats them on a last-second play to Randall Cobb, and they're not in the playoffs anymore. So this is a big game for them, obviously first division game for them as well. But right now I just cannot back this team. The scores are not indicating what I see on the field, what the math is saying on the field. And again, this is a Chicago team that everybody has been split on that has a value, that has an opinion that I value. When you come into the season, people were either uber high on Chicago or they were really low on Chicago. And I know they're 2-1, but this is not a team that I'm high on at all.
Are you surprised at all by the move from the Bears, a 1.5-point favorite to Green Bay, road chalk, given some of the struggles we've seen from the Packers early on this season?
You know, when I look at Green Bay, tough opening game, obviously. Tough place to open your season. They start slow against the Jets. They do get the win. Last weekend was really disappointing. I think Detroit's better than most people think. If they can get away from the constant brain farts, Detroit is really, really good. But hanging 7 against that secondary in Detroit on that surface, it's tough for me to comprehend. It really is. So this is really a game that I want to sit back and watch, because I think this game will define each team's season here. So I want to watch this one closely. It'll be a game that I'm not invested in, I don't believe, but it's one game that I will watch every snap of just to see what I can figure out moving forward.
Well, if that's a game that you want to sit back and watch, I don't really have a strong dissenting opinion. I do think the over, despite it being a hugely popular play amongst the betting public, would make a little bit of sense. I don't see either of the defenses slowing down, but neither side or total there will get any of my investment dollars. And a game that I guess I want to sit back and watch, Buffalo and Houston. You're looking at the Texans right now, a three-point favorite, total of 41. A number did open four, and you've seen some downward pressure. How do you go about trying to handicap Ryan Fitzpatrick taking on his old team as far as who may have the advantage there?
You know, I think that's something you have to look at. Obviously, the team's going to want to rally around him, get him a W, Buffalo basically, hand him a contract, and then kick them out of town about a year later. So this is a game that he's definitely had circled on his schedule. Houston obviously getting blown out. The market at this point, when you open four there, it's just a really weird number for me to comprehend because I was really down on Houston, obviously. Last week, they don't show up as expected, so you'd look for a buy point here, but four was a weird number. Down to three, we've obviously seen some money on Buffalo. To me, Houston's defense is the issue here. If you really break down Houston's defense, the first 3 weeks, they have been absolutely horrible on first and second down. We talked about it last week with the Giants. Jennings, 2.6 yards a carry before first being contacted. You get a Buffalo team who's physical up front, who loves to run the ball. They run the ball more than anybody in the NFL. And to me, I can see why the fours disappeared on this game.
Do you handicap the game any differently, assuming that Arian Foster is out again and we see more Alfred Blue in the backfield? Or does that not really impact any of the ways that you might be approaching this particular handicap?
You know, I think it's a different time right now. The NFL... the running back position in the NFL right now is really down. You're looking at an Arian Foster who, yes, he's good when he's out there, but not as much as he was in his first couple seasons under a system with that zone read that I think benefited him more than what they're currently running right now. So maybe half a point at the very most.
Gotcha. And I think the stat that you brought up about Jennings makes a ton of sense here. Buffalo would be the angle for me, although I'm not sure EJ Manuel capable of exploiting that Texan secondary. At the same time, though, I think this number is a little bit strong for Houston. Regretful that I wasn't able to grab the 4 points on the open, something you have to be willing to do early, just knowing that the number wasn't going to stay in the market for all that long. As we look at the next game on the docket, Indianapolis, a 7.5-point favorite against the Tennessee Titans, and totally gone up from 45.5 where it opened out to 46. Of course, the big question here, who will be the one taking the snaps for the Tennessee Titans? Jake Locker nicked up, missed the beginning of practice, the part that was open to the media. Speculation is that he's going to try and give it a go, but at the same time, wouldn't shock me if I see Charlie Whitehurst out there under center Sunday morning.
Yeah, this is a really, really weird game. You're looking at places like Pinnacle open 6.5. It shoots through that second largest key number of 7. 7.5, the predominant number. As we're recording this, it's going to 8 at Chris, 9.5 at the Greek. So that's tough for me, but I will say this. Sharp guys are monitoring this game. They like the dog. They're just kind of circling in on the prey, trying to figure out and get better injury information than everybody else on Locker. It is a wrist injury. Supposedly, it's not totally a massive deal, but he's having trouble gripping the ball. It's better that this game is indoors, obviously, so that's something we'll want to monitor. Professionals are looking towards Tennessee or nothing in this game.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's so hard to try and back the Colts playing over a touchdown. Now, we've talked about it at great lengths and probably well throughout the course of the season, talent-wise, aside from Andrew Luck, nothing that leaves you brewing with confidence as an elite-level football team. But you want to talk about elite-level football teams. I'm not sure either of these next two teams will qualify in that particular class. Baltimore, we'll call them a 3.5-point favor right now. Looks like the consensus. 3 minus $1.30 also available. So we're going this game out to 40.5 from 39 on the open. Carolina comes in fresh off that disappointing loss on Sunday night, a game where the Steelers were able to do anything and everything they wanted to against the Panthers' defensive front when it came to running the football.
Yeah, for me here, another game that I just kind of want to watch. I'm not really high on Carolina, but obviously this would probably be a decent time to buy off the loss on Sunday night in front of a national audience. They get a little healthier on the offensive side of the ball. It looks like a couple of their running backs will be back. For me, though, here, Baltimore, such an overwhelming home field advantage. Flacco plays so much better at home, but I can't right now with the hook. So this is a game that, again, I'm going to sit and watch. 39.5 out to 40.5. For me, it's the NFL, so it's new school football, but this should have been a game. This would be historically a game the last few years where we would definitely look towards the under. But I'm a little conservative now with totals, and so I'm just going to pass on this game completely.
Yeah, one of the tougher games to handicap, and I think that's, it feels like it's one of those trends that's going to emerge this entire card as we get deeper into it. From a game that was real tough to handicap, a side that I'm actually starting to like a little bit more because, well, as a glutton for punishment, I have no other choice. And essentially going back to look at the New York Jets, a short 1.5-point underdog as they play host to the Detroit Lions. Total on this game, 44.5 out to 45. You know, how do we handicap the Jets after that Monday night performance where they were the better team aside from spotting the Bears a 14-0 lead early, a fumble, a scoop and score that was, that should have counted for the Jets? You know, how do you assess where this team is at right now?
Well, I think you probably nailed it. This is one of those where you kind of just plug your nose and hit submit on your button there, and you pick up the Jets. Now at 1.5, maybe you can add them in a teaser piece with the 6-point teaser, getting them through the 3 and the 7. But for me, when you break down this game, I think the Jets are kind of the reverse to the Indianapolis Colts, meaning everyone thinks the Colts stink, but in my feeling is they are. They're probably a 1-15 team without the great quarterback. For the Jets, though, it's the complete opposite, okay? They don't have Andrew Luck. They have Geno Smith, and I think that's a major downgrade, and I'm not a fan of their entire coaching staff. So that's kind of the issue here. Rex Ryan, a great motivator, to me, not a great coach, and it kind of showed itself big time on Monday night. A lot of failed adjustments. We talked about it in the second quarter, me and you. When are they going to continue to give the ball to Chris Ivory? When are they going to give the ball to Chris Ivory? Finally, Tuesday morning after the game's over, Rex Ryan comes out and says, we need to get the ball to Chris Ivory. So not being able to diagnose that in the game and make that second half adjustment really tells me all I need to know about the Jets. I think they get Milner back, which will help against the pass attack of Detroit. But again, based on how this looks, it looks like Jets are nothing. I'm just not sure I can do it.
Yeah, I would agree with you here. I don't think you want to get in the habit of backing Detroit on the road, especially as a road favorite. You know, maybe in a good opportunity to try and sell high on a team that the public has become enamored with. Early indications look roughly about 8 out of every 10 tickets that have come in through early week wagering on Detroit. Of course, it'll be interesting to see how this unfolds as we get closer to kickoff. And it's funny that you mentioned a team that could be 1-15 without their starting quarterback. This isn't a team that may be 1-15 no matter who plays quarterback for them. The way the Tampa Bay Bucs have looked through the early going, they were on the wrong end of a 56-14 burial at the hands of the Atlanta Falcons. Pittsburgh, a thumping of Carolina. Two teams appear to be headed in opposite directions, but of course, as we know in this great league, that can often create some value. Do you see any value in the underdog here catching 7.5 total, sits at 45?
Yeah, I mean, again, I think this is another one where you just kind of plug your nose and play it. Pittsburgh looks great on Sunday night in front of a national audience. Tampa Bay, the absolute opposite on their Thursday night contest, getting beat 56-14. So again, there's going to be some value created with Tampa Bay. For me, though, I think the total, and we've seen it move up a couple clicks, if you can still get 44.5, I'm seeing one out there at the Greek, that might be the way to go. Tampa's still going to play up-tempo. They still have defensive issues and defensive injuries. Pittsburgh, same thing. They're going to want to go up-tempo. They kind of nipped the bud there with their touchdown scoreless streak in the Carolina game. Their offense looked very, very good. But again, defensive issues for Pittsburgh to begin the season. Now you're without guys like Ike Taylor, a linebacker, defensive end. So I think this game could definitely go over the total here, and that's probably the best way to look. We know sharp guys will be on Tampa Bay come game day.
Yeah, I think that makes the most compelling case for over. We do know that sharp guys are going to want to take all the points they can get here with the Bucs. Nobody has Pittsburgh rated as an elite-level team. It's just a question of how big some of those issues around Tampa as a franchise, you know, may leak onto the football field. By all accounts, Mike Glennon will be the starting quarterback. I do think that gives them a much better shot than if they'd started Josh McCown and Lovie Smith's system. As you look at a team, go ahead, Dan.
Yeah, no, I definitely agree with you. I'm not sure why he didn't get the starting nod to start the season, to be completely honest with you. I think Glennon gives them a much, much better chance to win.
Yep, and for those just tuning in, not sure where you've been for the first 15 minutes of the podcast, but that other voice on the line, that of Payne Insider, you can follow him on Twitter, at Payne Insider, or see his great work at PayneInsider.com. I'm your co-host, Todd Furman. You can find my work at ToddsTake.com, among some of the other places. And you look at the late games, and Jacksonville goes out west to San Diego. This is a Chargers team who embarrassed them at home a season ago. Chargers off to a great 2-1 start, 3-0 against the number. Listed as a 13-point favorite here, as we talked about on Monday. Look ahead lines, those said the Chargers should only be about a 9.5-point chalk. The oddsmaker has been forced to over-adjust, given San Diego's against the spread dominance.
Yeah, this kind of feels like, you know, the NFL has a lot of these spots and situations that repeat themselves over time, and this to me feels something similar. Now, I know it's not a division game, to the Chiefs-Broncos game a few weeks back. You're now looking at 13.5 at Pinnacle. And I think the Jacksonville Jaguars, I know nobody wants to back them. Now they're traveling across the country, but here comes Blake Bortles, a guy that should have been starting from day one, in my estimation. For right now, the way the CBA is set up, just plug these guys in, play them, find out if they can play. If not, draft a quarterback again a year or two later. In comes Bortles. Big, big upgrade for me. Henny is just not that guy. San Diego, big, coming off a big win across the country. I think this might be the spot here where the travel finally catches up with them. I know I'm high on San Diego, so it's tough for me to, you know, want to back Jacksonville here, but some things being shaken up on the Jacksonville defensive side of the ball, putting a couple new starters in there. Cyprian obviously fully recovered now, so he's back. But this just feels like a bad spot for San Diego, not much to play for here. So you probably look towards a 13.5. I also think this is a game that probably goes over the number here at 44.5, but nothing too set in stone for me on this game.
Yeah, San Diego, a team that's historically struggled as double-digit favorites, obviously a role they haven't seen themselves in all that often. But when you talk about their, you know, good start to the year, 3-0, all those spots, San Diego was listed as an underdog, so pretty incredible to see a team who opened the season dog in three straight games now open as a nearly a two-touchdown favorite, something to keep in mind when you go from the role of being the hunter to all of a sudden the hunted, especially against a team you embarrassed in their own building a season ago. And as we want to talk about embarrassments, may as well talk about the San Francisco 49ers, who opened the season 1-2, looking like a shadow of them, their former selves. Now listed as, we'll call it a 4.5-point consensus favorite number. Has opened 3.5, got as high as 5.5 before we saw resistance. 51 the total here. And, of course, Philadelphia, as we always talk about, looks to be the very, very trendy underdog amongst most casual recreational bettors.
Yeah, this is the trendy underdog. They start 3-0. Now you trek across the country, and the question mark here is Foles 100% healthy? Everything that I'm hearing, he got a little banged up last week in the Washington game, and he's not 100%, so we have seen a sharp move on San Francisco. Obviously, the public getting into the market a little more as it gets closer to game time. For me, I think this is something we touched on. San Francisco has just been blown out in the second half of these games. I think they come out fast. We know Philadelphia's come out slow, so it seems kind of like the perfect storm here to look at San Francisco in the first half. When you're talking about a game total of a game number of 4.5 and a first half of 3, I think, you know, some of the value might be gone, and I think a lot of, you know, books have kind of anticipated that. But I think the sharp side here is definitely San Francisco and potentially going first half instead of full game based upon how poor they've looked and based upon Philadelphia kind of wearing teams down later in the game with that fast-tempo offense.
And when you talk about first half here, the question I have, you know, where would you look at maybe even laying a little bit of an extra price with San Francisco and electing to play them on the money line more so than laying a full field goal in this spot?
You know, when you look at what that number is going to be, you know, you're in that 200 to 240 range. Not something I want to get overly – I just don't want to do that every week. Maybe in some certain spots, some certain situations. Groups are going to do it, so I know a lot of people say, oh, you can't lay juice. I don't agree with that. I think you can lay some juice. But for me, I feel more comfortable here. I think 3 is okay to lay there. And we'll see which way this line continues to trend. Obviously, sharp money has come in on San Francisco, but it wasn't enough to let this game stick at that 5, 5.5. If this can somehow on game day get down to 4, maybe we see that first half number creep towards the 2.5, and then you definitely look San Francisco in the first half.
Yeah, I'd agree. I think first half makes a lot of sense. I do think San Francisco will put together a complete game one of these weeks, and Philadelphia may fall into that classification of a team who really hasn't put a ton of emphasis on this particular game. Knowing that they've started 3-0, they come in on the heels of a big divisional win against the Washington Redskins. And the last game before we get into the Sunday night primetime spot, a true dichotomy of what's going to emerge between the pros and the Joes. Atlanta, a 3-point favorite. We'll call them a soft three at this point, with a total of 46.5 as they head up to TFC Bank Stadium to take on the Minnesota Vikings.
Yeah, enter Bridgewater here. I know sharp guys are pretty high in Teddy Bridgewater. They don't see much of a difference between Castle and him. We know Minnesota was the sharp side last week. It didn't come to fruition with that 20-9 loss. But one thing to kind of point out here is a lot of the sharp guys and groups were playing the Vikings plus 3.5 in the second half. Again, lost by a hook. But they were willing and able to back Bridgewater. And so when you look at this look-ahead line, before last week, Minnesota minus 1.5. This week it reopens. Atlanta off their 56-14 win. All of a sudden a 3-point road favorite. Now, Atlanta, you kind of discount when they travel on the road. But again, you're talking about a surface they're used to. So you don't discount it as much. It looks like they're getting a little healthier at wide receiver. But I think you're looking at Minnesota here as a 3-point dog at home.
Yeah, I would agree there with that spot. I think it'll be fascinating to see how the Vikings are able to slow down that Atlanta passing game. This Atlanta still yet to play a game on a natural surface, but we saw them go outside the confines of the dome against the Bengals. Loss doesn't look quite so bad if Cincinnati dispatched of Tennessee, but I agree here. For me, the play would be on the dog or nothing. And then into the Sunday night game, the Cowboys fresh off of a huge 21-point comeback against the St. Louis Rams playing host to the New Orleans Saints. Cowboys, a 3-point underdog total in this game, the highest on the board as we see it sit at 53. Going to make a case for a home dog in primetime here again, Mr. Payne?
I'm not sure I can. We know about Dallas's woes at home. This seems to be a game where the opposing team gets up. They like playing Dallas in Dallas. Again, another surface New Orleans is used to playing in, so it's not, you know, you don't downgrade them for going to play on grass. I was a little concerned with New Orleans offense with their performance last week, but I just don't think Dallas's defense is good enough. We're starting to see that Dallas defense trend towards what we think they're going to be with all the injuries. I know they get Scandrick back. It looks like Claiborne's been demoted here. But I think this is a side where you look towards New Orleans. The total a bit trickier. I think everybody is going to want to go and bet this game over in the primetime spot. I think it will continue to be bet up. But I think Dallas's game plan, again, as it has been all season, hand the ball to DeMarco Murray, and that's really going to tick away at this clock, and I think you'll see some professionals let this total get as high as humanly possible and then come in a kick on the under here with Dallas, you know, playing keep away.
Yeah, I mean, do we think the Cowboys are going to continue to stay committed to the ground game? I mean, last week, of course, they were forced to abandon it to a certain extent, but did show a lot more balance than what we've grown accustomed to last year in coming back. Do we really believe that Jason Garrett is finally a firm believer in giving the ball to DeMarco Murray 20 to 25 times a game?
You know, that'll be tough to say. I think a lot of it, I know a lot of people said, oh, Jason Garrett's been calling a great game lately, but I don't think a lot of people understand why, and it was because Tony Romo wasn't 100% healthy. He was one of the worst-rated quarterbacks on throws down the field more than 20 yards. So they were really protecting Romo. We'll see what happens once he starts to get healthy. Maybe it's a bad thing he does get healthy, because I think DeMarco Murray gives him the best chance to win. It'll be important to see if he can stay healthy with all those carries. But I think you definitely have to hand the ball to Murray often in this game. And it'll be interesting to see. I actually lean towards the road favorite here just a little bit, especially at 3.
Look at that particular spot. Going outside the normal comfort zone, looking to lay road chalk on a prime time spot. And it's impressive. I mean, it speaks to the evolution of these betting markets and some of the things that a lot of us were taught in this business, always gravitating towards a home dog, especially in prime time. An awfully interesting angle. Of course, we have a primetime home dog in the Monday night game, but for those folks hoping to hear the preview of that game, they're going to have to tune in on Monday to get our full breakdown of the Patriots and Chiefs, along with a full review of exactly what we saw on Sunday. So, Payne, before we leave our fine loyal listeners as we approach about the half-hour mark on this podcast, any words of wisdom or nuggets that they can take to the window with them this weekend?
You know, I think you look at Minnesota, and I'm not sure, again, if that's going to stay 3 come game time. I'd also definitely continue to search the internet, whatever handicapping tools you use, find out if Jake Locker is going to be 100%, if he's going to play, because if he plays, I think you probably get out ahead on Tennessee there. So those are the two sides that I would be looking at come this week.
Yeah, it should be another great week of NFL action. Of course, three shorter games with six teams on bye, so it makes our job a little easier. And for a lot of listeners out there, when you hear this podcast, there's a great chance you will be looking at the Minnesota Vikings, only a 2.5-point dog against the Atlanta Falcons, so keep an eye on that particular game as well. For Payne Insider and he of PayneInsider.com fame, I'm Todd Furman. Visit our websites, PayneInsider.com, ToddsTake.com as well. And best of luck Thursday night with the Giants Redskins, and more importantly on Sunday. Hopefully we'll see you at the window, and we'll check back in Monday morning as we preview that primetime game between the Patriots and Kansas City Chiefs.